Hey everyone, this is the Hopecast from Hope Church RBA. I'm Rachel and I'm on the communications team here at Hope, and I'm joined today by our senior pastor, David Dwight. We are here to have a conversation about some common questions in life and faith in under 30 minutes. And today's question is, how can we forgive when we can't forget? So this feels like one of those kind of axioms we've heard a million times, right? Like the forgiveness and forgetting and all of those things are pretty sticky in our minds. And I've always kind of wondered, what do we do when you can't forget, right? When you can't let go of it, it's seared into your memory somehow. Can we still forgive? Mm-hmm. Where do we go with that?
Mm-hmm. Huge question, isn't it? I was thinking about your intro. It says we talk about common questions. I'm like, yeah, some of them are big. They're common, yeah. But they're big. In what you just said, I'm going to make a distinction. You said, you know, how do we forgive when we can't forget? How do we let go? Okay, so I hear that as two different things.
Okay.
Letting go, to me, is an emotional work that comes with forgiveness. Forgetting is something different, right? So our brains are not going to just go blank on something painful that happened.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, you know, if your brain was a file cabinet, it's not like you're going to go looking for the file of that painful experience and it's just not there any longer. Our brain is going to have that memory. The question is, what do we do with that memory? And what do we do with the emotional positioning of our hearts when we have this painful experience? The painful experience is the overarching thing. Then we have a memory of it. Then we have emotions, feelings about it. And then a lot of times you have like residual emotions that come from that. And then you have, I'll use the word, not quite accurately, but almost metaphorically, you can have almost like PTSD because the memory, now the memory happened a long time ago. And for the sake of today's conversation, I'm going to stay in the range of, let's call it hard, but not brutally hard.
Okay.
Because brutally hard is a category of its own, the depth and the anguish of it.
Sure.
But like sort of the PTSD is, you hadn't thought about this memory for quite a long time, but then you see something and it brings it back. So the memory seems more or less released from your cognizance. It's not recycling by itself anymore in your mind. You're like, gee, I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But then you see something and it triggers the memory again.
Right.
So the memories are there. What do we do with those memories? Our thoughts about them. And then what do we do with our emotions about them? So I think forgiveness is wrapped up in these things. And so we can talk about forgiveness with us and another person. We can also talk about forgiveness with us and God. So I'm going to start maybe for a moment to reflect on us and God and some of the things the Bible says about the way God loves and forgives us. So the Bible gives a clear picture that with God's forgiveness comes a removal of the memory of it, and that God doesn't keep holding the memory in mind against us. So for instance, in Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, removed them from us. I think we tend to think when we ask God for forgiveness, we get amnesty, but not removal. Amnesty is like, I'll let you go, but I'm still keeping this on your record. And I think for many of us, we think we get amnesty, but not removal. Right? It's almost like criminal law. Like, okay, you're out of jail, but you do still have a felony record. Okay. And we tend to think that way with God. Then let's patch together a couple of other places in the Bible. In 1 John 1:8, it says, God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're told, love keeps no record of wrongs. I think it is responsible biblical interpretation to therefore say God in his love keeps no record of our wrongs.
Yeah.
Keeps no record of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not as good at that as God is.
Yeah.
Right? There's an old joke, right? And I've heard the joke about a mother and a daughter, and they've gotten in an argument,
mm-hmm.
and the daughter says to her mother, you know, every time we have an argument, you get all historical. And the mother says, you mean hysterical? She says, no, historical. Every time we have an argument, you keep going back to all the things you've been unhappy about with me from the past, and you keep regurgitating them into the present.
Mm.
So that's a whole nother story, because when our kids were growing up, when we had to work through something, we would talk about, let's have a sincere conversation about it. Let's say what needs to be said. Let's forgive. And then let's not return to this.
Mm.
So in the future, when something hard happens, we're not going to come back to it and say, yeah, but you always, and I remember when, we're going to do our very best to leave that. We talked about it. We addressed it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not bringing that one into now.
That's helpful.
Okay. So then, you know, the joke is you get all historical. No, Mom, what you do is you just bring up all the things you've been unhappy about in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. So God keeps no record of wrongs. Speaking about our relationship with God, I think most Christians, most people who are sincere about wanting to have a rich and intimate relationship with God, I think most of us have sin patterns or categories.
Mm.
It's like a thing that is a hard thing for us.
Mm.
Okay. And it's going to be different for a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Call it anger, call it gossip, call it lust, call it bitterness, call it jealousy, whatever. And for many of us, one or two or a few of these can be a challenging category.
Yeah.
And we haven't, quote, gotten over it.
Mm-hmm.
This category, we tend to fall back into it repeatedly. And so when we go to God and want to speak with him about it and confess it and ask for forgiveness, we have in our mind, like, here I am yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Same topic, same rut. And every time I do this, I've feel like I want to say this will be the last time, but I know it probably won't be.
Mm.
And I'm going to be coming back to you again, having fallen into this same rut again. And I think the biblical viewpoint is when we have had this sincere conversation of forgiveness with God, he keeps no record of wrongs.
Mm.
So we can be coming back to God to confess and reconcile on this thing, same category. And it's not the third time I've done it. It's the 3,000th time I've done it. And we're feeling guilty. Like, here I am again, same topic, same fault, same character shortcoming.
Mm.
Here I am yet again. And I think based on what we're gleaning from the scriptures, we're like, God, here I am again to talk about this. Talk about what?
Mm.
Talk about this failing. What failing? I'm playing with the metaphor, but for the sake of people trying to grasp the beauty of God's forgiveness, well, here I am again to confess the same old thing. What same old thing?
Mm-hmm.
His forgiveness has this reach of grace where it's not like the mom who gets all historical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, let me remind you how many times you failed at this.
Mm-hmm.
His forgiveness has this reach of grace that does remove the record.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a court of law, it would be like, yes, and your record has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
If it was like data on a hard drive, it's like the hard drive has been wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come to God and we deal with forgiveness sincerely, the record is wiped clean.
Mm.
So the next time is always the first time when we're coming to God for forgiveness. To me, it almost makes me emotional to think about that's the beauty, the depth, the reach, the charity of his grace and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So God does remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now our word is forget.
Mm.
Is the word forget what we're looking for, or is the word remove?
Mm-hmm.
The best way we know how to grasp the idea of remove a memory is to use the word forget,
mm-hmm.
as though that we had some kind of amnesia about it.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's not so much like this idea of amnesia, like I just can't remember it,
mm-hmm.
and it's more removing it.
Mm.
And now we get into some of the deeper work of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And when we've been deeply wounded, understandably, in the woundedness, we feel pain and we feel anger.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, it's pretty normal that we have what I'll call revenge fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
We want a person to pay a price for what they did to us. That's understandable. That is part of the makeup of human life and, mm-hmm. and the psyche. But if we can begin to step back from it a little bit, we begin to realize that internal bitterness is creating a prison for me,
mm-hmm.
as well as holding something against that person.
Mm-hmm.
So then I've got two places where this problem is really significant. One, I have an unreconciled antagonistic relationship toward this person.
Mm-hmm.
And two, my interior world is in knots and chains. Mm-hmm. So this inability to forgive is sucking the life out of me.
Yeah.
So it becomes dominating.
Mm-hmm.
It is the lens through which I see everything.
Yep.
If the pain was really big, I can't see anything in the world except through that lens of my pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins to reduce and shut down our own living.
Mm-hmm.
So we can step back and say, do we want that? And we're like, no, we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know I want something better than that.
Yeah.
Okay. In your angry moments, do you want that? Yep. Yeah. I want revenge. I want this man or woman to pay a dear price for how they hurt mm-hmm. me. Understandably. Sometimes I think when we're seeking forgiveness, to me, the biggest part of forgiveness is prayer.
Mm.
The biggest part of me growing into forgiveness toward another person is prayer. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's prayer like, God, I want to bring this person, this situation, and this pain to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about it, and I want to process it, and I want to ask you to give me your perspectives, and I want to ask you to help me come closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you to help me understand the price you paid for my forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, Jesus, if you could help me grow closer to you, because you absorbed mm-hmm. the pain of sin and you have given me the gift of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me to some degree, yes, absorb this pain, but more than that, to give it to you?
Yeah.
So this pain and this emotional burden and anger and duress, it doesn't just go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think God is inviting us to place it with Jesus,
mm.
to place it with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So a recent situation where somebody hurt me and they may not even know it, or I feel pretty confident they weren't even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they may have almost no sense that what they did was really painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's another interesting and sometimes complicating factor. But here's what I'm thinking. It was recent, so mm-hmm. I've still got emotional turmoil about it.
Yeah.
It's not a huge thing, but it was, I mean, you know, there's millions of little hurtful things that happen in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
That are also part of this conversation too. Like, how do we process, you know, all the little ankle biters, like these little fleas of hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's what I'm thinking. This is the way my head processes this.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, right now I'm hurt by this person, by what they did, and what they've done to me.
Mm.
I do not feel charitably toward them.
Yeah.
But I know that you love them,
mm-hmm.
and I know that they're a human being,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you want love, redemption, and wholeness for them.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you want those things, then my first step in trying to get there is that I'm going to try to align my emotions mm-hmm. with what I know you want.
Yeah.
So I may not be able to forgive them at the moment, but step one for me is I know that you want this for them and I love you. And if I know that you want this for them,
right,
then my first step is to want what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though, you see, he's the middleman. I don't want it for them, but I know you do.
Yeah.
And I know that I love you and I know that you've forgiven me this way.
Mm-hmm.
So step one for me is to come align myself with what you want.
Right.
And what you've
done. Changing our own hearts.
Yeah. What you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense then, what I'm doing is the early growth in growing to forgive the person, the early steps are aligning myself with the fact that Jesus forgives the person.
Mm, yeah.
This is, you know, pretty deep water depending on what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, Jesus, I can't forgive this person right now, but I know that you love them and can. So my first step is trying to align my heart with your heart.
Yeah.
And then I have this strong sort of theological sense that, God offered his own son on the cross. The price paid for forgiveness and reconciliation was very high.
Mm-hmm.
This may sound odd to some people, but if I hold on to all of this bitterness, I am disregarding the cross.
Hmm.
I am disregarding the price that God paid to offer forgiveness. And in a sense, it would be like God saying, why are you paying no attention to the magnitude of the price that I paid to bring forgiveness into the world? The more you're holding on to this yourself and grinding in your anger and bitterness, the more you're walking by Jesus on the cross and giving no heed to him.
Wow.
No heed to the price, the pain, the anguish, the sacrifice. And it sounds hard to say it, but put it on him. I paid this price for the purpose of offering forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So we might want to say, no, I don't want to put my pain on him. His suffering is already too great. This is why
That's
I
why,
paid this
yes.
price.
Yeah.
So put it on him and stop putting it on you.
Yeah. Wow.
And then in the slow process of time, one, I think we can begin to align ourselves with Jesus. And the more we will bring our prayers into what I would call a constructive place with what I'm thinking and feeling, in time, that forgiveness that Jesus has for them begins to seep into me as well.
Wow, yeah.
But it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it also comes with a deep recognition, right? The New Testament says, he who has been forgiven much loves much.
Mm-hmm.
Have I taken into account the forgiveness that's been given to me?
Yeah.
Because, of course, when we're really hurt, we're all like, well, I'm a good guy and you're a creep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good person. I deserve love. Yeah. And you're a bad person and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And do we take into account the forgiveness that's been given to us, the deep piece of it? Right. And so this conversation, even literally, I want to say is, I can see your countenance. You're like, wow, this is really significant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this quickly or superficially.
Right.
You can't be driving in your car and have a stoplight prayer and say, God, help me forgive this person and move on.
Yeah.
It's way deeper than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But for people who really want the life of Jesus to be coursing through our veins, this deeper work is the work to do to become this person of forgiveness and grace and depth rather than this person who's holding on to my anger and bitterness and hurt, which is understandable because we're human.
Yeah.
But there's a deeper invitation to a place of life and freedom.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I have a lot of thoughts and I feel like none of them are as eloquent as what you shared, but it's convicting to me to think that when I'm really resistant to forgiveness or maybe feel so indignant or so like I deserve to be angry, that person, like you said, deserves to suffer. I want this revenge. There's very little alignment of my heart with the Lord's heart in the, when I feel that way. And it feels it's very self-centered and not life-giving or fruitful place for my heart to be. But there's such freedom, like you said, with aligning our hearts with the Lord's heart for others who have maybe wounded us, and even for ourselves. And I think you're right that the more I really grasp and sink into the magnitude and the beauty and really the freedom of the cross and the sacrifice that was made there, it's such a natural response to want to offer that and make more of that than to make less of it. I'm just kind of struck by that. Like, I don't want to diminish the cross and what was done there. I want to make much of that. And if in some way my forgiving of others makes more forgiveness because of the forgiveness that I've received and how right. much that was, it just right. feels like it makes more of the cross than to make less of it.
Well, to hear you say that really opens a big thought to me. You're using the phrase to make more of the cross versus make less of it. I don't think I've ever thought this. So I had been thinking, take that pain and give it to Jesus on the cross. In other words, for lack of a better way to say it, employ the cross to its fullest intended effect. Mm-hmm. But you're even saying, but if we then do that and we grow in forgiveness, we become multipliers mm-hmm. of what Jesus did on the cross. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thought. Mm-hmm. So as his disciples, it's not only that we take all our stuff and put it there, mm-hmm. it's that we become multipliers. It's like concentric outward going circles of taking what happened on the cross and spreading it more and more broadly. Mm-hmm. So we become people who are forgiveness spreaders. Mm-hmm. And a story that I can't resist telling mm-hmm. Is from a guy years ago named Ray Bakke. And Ray was involved in racial reconciliation work in Chicago. Hmm. And in his time, I don't even know if Ray's still alive. He would be an old man if he is now. But 20 years ago, I heard him tell this story. And he had gone with a handful of people to the Middle East for some meetings. And lo and behold, they ended up having some very high-level meetings. And one of them was with the King of Jordan. Hmm. So Ray Bakke and probably the U.S. Secretary of State, one or two other people, they have this meeting with King Abdullah of Jordan, the father of the current King of Jordan. And when the meeting is coming to an end, you know how it goes, meetings, people are wrapping up and they're putting their stuff together and they're leaving the room.
Yeah.
He says, it turned out that only the king and I were left in the room. Hmm. And he said, it all of a sudden struck me that I was in the room with this guy. You know, you think security and all that, I don't know. But so this is what he said. The discussion was about, you know, the pain and violence in the Middle East with Palestinians and Israel and so on. So Ray Bakke's a Christian. So the King Hussein of Jordan says to him, Mr. Bakke, I'm hearing that more and more Christians are leaving the Middle East because of their concerns about violence. Mm-hmm. He said, to whatever degree you can encourage Christians not to leave the Middle East, please ask them to stay. And Ray Bakke was like mystified. He's like what? Like, mm-hmm. So he said, could you tell me more about what you mean? And this is the King of Jordan. He said, true Christians who understand the cross are the people who understand what it takes to bring about reconciliation. Mm. Please tell your Christian friends not to leave the Middle East. Just think about that.
Wow.
First of all, think about how much credit King Hussein is giving ordinary Christians.
Yeah, woo.
Like true Christians understand the cost and the price of reconciliation.
Yeah, but wow.
Unbelievable story. And so that's all wrapped up in this forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so no, mentally, we're not going to just have amnesia. It's right. The thought isn't going to go away.
Mm.
I think when we say, how do I forgive when I can't forget? We're using a phrase that's familiar.
Sure.
What we mean is, what do I do with everything in my memory and my emotions to try to come to a life-filled Jesus place
mm-hmm.
when I have been harmed and hurt so much?
Yeah. It's striking. We, like you said, named this episode with kind of that maybe catchier angle, but it's much deeper waters. The cross is no small thing and forgiveness is no quick fix. But there's so much richness and freedom. Even the way that we're talking, I feel like I'm just feeling the weight of it in a really almost a beautiful way that, man, this is so much more than we often give it credit for. I think we can even just make forgiveness a thing that, oh, just check it off the to-do list. But wow, what richness there is, and what love and life and grace and mercy and all of these beautiful things can come from this alignment of our hearts with the Lord's, with, like you said, making the most of the cross and employing it to the fullness, making that sacrifice from Jesus, as magnificent and meaningful as it is, that changes it.
It's a great way to say it.
I love that.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us today. You can subscribe to the Hopecast in your favorite podcast app, and maybe share this episode with a friend or somebody maybe you need to forgive or have forgiven if you've seen the fruits of that in your life and want to pass it along. We would love for you to do so. And if you want to learn more about Hope, you can find us online at hopechurchrva.com, and we hope you'll join us for next one.